This is Peggy Van Skoik, and today is Monday, January 3rd of the year 2000. I am here today in the home of Deborah Matthews Wright. Deborah is the sister of Gwen Matthews, who I interviewed a few weeks ago. Gwen was one of the first six people to attend Cary High School as a segregated high school back in 1963, and Deborah followed in her footsteps about 8 years later to Cary High School, following behind her older sister. So we're here today to hear about Gwen's experiences and then from Deborah's perspective, and then Deborah's experiences following along the same lines. So, Deborah, if you could tell me a little bit about your family background. We heard from Gwen that your family is from around here in this area. So if you could tell me a little bit more about your family.
Sure. We grew up in Wake County, as Gwen has probably already told you, and Wake County is our home. I'm born and bred here in Wake County. I'm one of five children, as Gwen has probably told you also. And we grew up in the rural area. At that time, it was considered what was called the country, and so it was a rural area just outside the city limits of Raleigh, but between Raleigh and Cary. And so as a result of things that happened with the school system at that time, we did end up going to Cary schools rather than to what was considered Raleigh City schools. And Cary at that time was considered a county school or rural school at the time also, so that was why we also went to Cary schools.
That's interesting. Yeah, it is. So from the time you started school, you were in the Cary school system?
From the time I started school at the age, when I first started school, I was in a segregated school, and yes, the actual black school that I went to, elementary school, was also in Cary, and so I was one of several black children who went to Cary, even as a segregated, in a segregated society or system. And in 1965, when there was a law passed and supposedly there was a freedom of choice, there was a decision made, and it was my decision. And I say my decision because my parents asked me about it, and I'm not certain that I understood the ramifications of it, but at the age of 10, I did choose to go to Swift Creek, which is just outside of Cary, and Swift Creek Elementary School. And so at the age of 10 and going into the fifth grade, I was one of three people to integrate Swift Creek School for the very first time. And that was quite an experience, as you can imagine. And so my first experience with integration was at the age of 10, and not really when I was in high school, but it began much earlier.
That's amazing. So you were one of the first three black children in the entire school?
In the entire school.
How did it go? What happened your first day? Can you describe your first day?
It was awful. It was awful. It was absolutely positively awful. As I indicated, even though my parents gave me the opportunity to choose, I don't think they even really understood what it really would mean in terms of the day-to-day interaction and the day-to-day going through the process of going to school. For them, I think from their perspective, it was a matter of I would be closer to home because the school was closer to my home. I wouldn't have to ride a bus as long. And also, there was a distinction between the quality of education in the black schools and the white schools. So from their perspective also, it would be advantageous. It would be beneficial for me to begin to go to what was considered a white school at an earlier age than even Gwen went, because it would have been supposedly a better quality of education. And so when I was given the choice, I said, oh, well, yeah, I'll go. And because, again, I didn't really understand it. And again, didn't understand all the ramifications of it and how the whole scenario would play out on a day-to-day basis. But during the time that I was riding, we rode the school bus. And being one of three, We had to stand all the time on the school bus. We were never given the opportunity to sit down, even though there were plenty of seats on the bus. What the white children would do was one person would sit in a seat to keep us from sitting down. And so we stood for the entire time when we were picked up and then riding to school. And the bus driver, that was just the way it was. And so, and during that time, from getting on the bus to getting there, we would, of course, teased and ridiculed the entire time. And then in school, it was the same scenario, being teased for being different and not having been around black children. There were obvious physical differences, basically just the physical differences. We were just like any other children, had the same likes, dislikes as any other child, but the white children took it upon themselves to, of course, mimic us and just ridicule us and make fun of the differences between us and them. And so this was a daily occurrence. That was just life.
Oh, how difficult.
Yeah.
Were the three of you in the same class?
No. I was in the fifth grade, and there may have been four of us. I was in the fifth grade. There was a cousin of mine who was in the first grade, and then there was a friend of mine who was in the sixth grade, and then there was a young boy who was second or third grade. So there were four of us. I had forgotten about one young man.
So you were all alone in your classroom?
Oh, yes.
Once you got to school?
Oh, yes. I was all alone in my classroom probably until junior, primarily until junior high school. For the next 2 or 3 years, I was all alone. One of the only black child in my class. And of course, being that kind of situation, it was a lonely situation. But the next year, I think the next year, maybe 2 years afterwards, there were one or two people who began to somewhat befriend me, more or less. And that was somewhat comforting as that happened. But the first year was pretty traumatic. But even though there was one or two children who did begin to talk or share or even just have a conversation with me, you know, eventually they would begin to be teased, you know, if they, you know, did that. So it was kind of a up and down kind of situation, you know, seesaw relationships in school. And there was really no real relationship probably or friendships, but just acquaintances and people who, you know, just kind of took the time to share with me or to talk with me.
How did the teachers act towards you?
The first year, the teacher was Mrs. Cope. I remember her name. She was not outward. She did not treat me too differently outwardly, but she did not do a whole lot to try and keep the other children from teasing me or to keep them from saying things to me, even when she heard them. I think that probably the thing that I remember most about Mrs. Cope was her feelings toward my abilities. And I remember probably after it was 6 weeks or whatever, reporting periods. And she sent a note home to my mother, and the note basically said to please talk to me because I was obviously copying from another child's paper. And her basis for the note was that I couldn't be performing, I couldn't be doing satisfactory work because I was black, was basically what she was implying. So she sent the note home and asked my mother to talk to me, because she had never seen me do it. She had never caught me cheating. She had never caught me copying or looking on anyone else's paper. But she sent the note home because that had to be happening. My mother was livid. She was livid. She was a mother, like many mothers, I'm sure, is like a mother hen, and there were a lot of things that were outside of her control, but there were things that when there were something that was an untruth, and she knew my ability. She knew that that wasn't the case. And so we never received another note like that, and I continued to excel. And she gave me my grades. I mean, we wondered, I think my mother wondered for a while whether or not she was even going to be fair to me if she had this doubt, this concern in her mind that I wasn't doing my work. But she did. She gave me the grades that I deserved. So that was probably what I remember most about Mrs. Cope. She wasn't necessarily unfriendly or ever mean to me, but she was just the teacher. And she didn't go out of her way to try to make life any better for me.
Did your mother talk to her at that point in time?
Yes, she did.
She did. Mm-hmm. How did she handle it?
To be honest, I don't know.
I don't know.
I just know that she was very upset. And so she did go to the school. And I don't know whether she talked with her by herself or with the principal, too. I don't remember. But she did do that. So the year, other than the teasing of whatever, academically was a good year. And I went on to the sixth grade and had a very kind teacher in the sixth grade, and things went pretty good for the next two or three years.
Were there more black children coming into the school the second year that you were at Swift Creek?
The school went to grade 7, and I started at 5, and by the next two or three years, there were a few others. Yes, there were a few others. But basically, we were so spread out that there was still about one in every class, one black child in every class.
At most.
Mm-hmm. And yes, and some course classes didn't have any black children. Yeah.
Now, Gwen had told me that some of her experiences at Cary High School were that the teachers wouldn't call on her, wouldn't answer questions that she asked, basically ignored her, were not open to having her come up to them after class to even ask questions. Did you experience those kinds of things with your teachers?
No, I didn't experience that in elementary school, nor in junior high school. By the time I got to high school, things were better. Things were much better. So I didn't really experience that kind of treatment when I was younger.
Okay.
I didn't ask a lot of questions, I have to admit. That's probably also, I didn't ask a lot of questions, and I just kind of struggled through. I think a lot of it was feeling that I had to prove myself and feeling that that any indication that I didn't know or that I had a question would be a reflection on my level of intelligence. So I think probably I was much more reserved than Gwen. Gwen is very gregarious and outgoing and talkative. So I think that I was probably much more reserved and tried to figure out a lot of things on my own and didn't ask a lot of questions and did okay as a result. It took me a little bit longer probably, but struggled through it without asking a lot of questions. But when I did raise my hand, I didn't feel ignored or mistreated.
Mm-mm. Now, from Swift Creek, where did you go after Swift Creek?
I went to what is called, at the time it was called Cary Elementary, and the school that sits right in the middle of town, the red brick school. And I was there for the eighth grade. And then by that time, there were many more black children in the school, because I think at that time school integration was probably in full-fledged. That was probably 1968. And then in 69 I went to West Cary, which I think now is a middle school, but it's on Evans Road. And then from 10 to 12 I went to Cary High School.
By the time you got to Cary High School, what were things like there?
I think by the time I got to Cary High School, white students were used to having us around, but we were still segregated, so to speak, in terms of there wasn't a lot of interaction, there wasn't a lot of socializing together. So by the time I got to high school, there was still always the feeling of loneliness and being apart and being separated, because with there being one black child maybe in every class, you didn't have lunch with any other black students, and usually, typically, I ate lunch alone, and so you just didn't have any kind of interaction. So by the time I was in high school, there wasn't a lot of teasing or ridiculing or calling names and that sort of thing, or racial slurs, as there were when I was younger. But there was the separation of the races. Black students typically socialized with each other and sat close to each other in class, and white students did the same. I think there was much more tolerance, and there was some interaction. I don't want to give you the impression there was none. There was some, but there was a higher level of tolerance by that time. And so I started 10th grade in 1970, and so there was a little bit more tolerance then. We were used to each other, I would say, probably. The races were used to being around each other a lot more. But in the 10th grade, the 10th through the 12th grade, there was one particular young woman that basically befriended, we became friends, and I say she befriended me because I was eating lunch alone in the cafeteria, and she was white, and she came over, and she asked me if she could sit with me, and it kind of took me by surprise, because I was like, you want to sit down here at the table with me? And from that point in time, we became very good friends. We were friends all the way through high school, and best of friends, as a matter of fact, to the point of spending time in each other's houses and just doing a lot of things together. But I think that probably any other very lasting or strong friendships didn't occur in high school at that time.
Oh, that's great. You mm-hmm. had one person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That I can look back on and made the high school experience at least more tolerable and a little bit more pleasant. Academically, the teachers were fine. There were black teachers in the school by this time, and the white teachers were more open to the black students. So from an academic perspective, things went well. The teachers were fine. The guidance counselors tended to primarily ignore the black students. We were kind of steered, either we weren't guided at all, or we would steer toward a trade or a technical kind of situation. But we weren't encouraged to go to college. We weren't readily given information about college. We had to seek it out for ourselves.
But was that true of both female and male black mm-hmm, students?
Mm-hmm, yes. Mm-hmm. And definitely more so of the black students. But as a female, if I went into the guidance counselor's office, and I don't remember a specific incident, but I do remember receiving the information, but it was never given to me because I remember seeing other white children with it and they had been given it, and so that was why I ended up going to get it, because I hadn't received it. And I think a lot of the fact that my grades were pretty decent, and so I was provided with the information and given more information about college, and I think some of the other black students were given about college. But the teachers overall were pretty good.
Good. Mm-hmm. What about extracurricular activities? Gwen had indicated that she didn't even try. Had things gotten any better by the time you got to Cary High School, or was it still fairly closed to you?
The extracurricular activities were fairly closed, other than there were, you know, token kinds of situations. There was a black cheerleader, and then there were black athletes, and you may have a black person on the student council or something along those lines. But of the other clubs, basically, were fairly closed. And I don't know if they were closed. I don't think it was a situation where we were actually closed out of them, but I think that many black students, just like as Gwen said, didn't try to join many of the clubs because they didn't feel welcome. And so I it was the same for me. I didn't either. I wasn't very active.
Hmm. Well, then, what happened after high school?
After high school, I wasn't quite sure where I wanted to go. I tossed around Wake Forest University, and at the time I was a Carolina UNC fan, a Carolina fan, and thought about Carolina. But I thought about Meredith, and after Gwen went, it appealed to me. I stayed at home part of the time, most of the time, 3 years I was there, I mean the 4 years I was there. And so it appealed to me, the atmosphere, the small college atmosphere, all girls school. And so I applied to Meredith and to Peace College, and received a scholarship from Peace, but chose not to go there. Didn't actually apply for financial aid. I was given an academic scholarship from Peace, which I didn't apply for, and just and didn't really apply for financial aid from Meredith until the second year, but ended up going to Meredith, and I'm glad that I went there. I can't say a real positive experience, but looking back on it, it was a good experience. I think that was where I should have gone, and I think that it was a good opportunity for me. It lacked a lot of the other things that I think that people enjoy when they go to college: the interaction, the special friendships, the relationships, the extracurricular activity and involvement, those types of things. But from an academic perspective, I think that I know they prepared me well, and the campus was relatively receptive. I was one of 12, and there were about 12 blacks, and there were about 1,200, so there's that 1/100th. I don't know what percentage that is.
About 1%?
1%. We'll just say 1%. So that was one of 12, or I do remember that. There were 10 or 12 of us, so there were 1% black students there at the time.
Now, Gwen went to Meredith. There was a gap between high school and when she went to Meredith. Were you going to Meredith at the same time, or did you miss each other?
We missed each other.
Did you?
Yes. So I think Gwen had probably been out 3 or 4 years before I even went to Meredith. So there was a gap, but she had gone to another college her freshman year and then went to Meredith. Worked a little while and then went to Meredith. But there was still that time where we didn't cross over. There was no overlap at all.
What did you major in?
I majored in psychology with a minor in sociology. I had the feeling that I wanted to work with people, which is a standard kind of statement that when you're young you say things like that. But I did also want to go into counseling, I thought, some phase of counseling. So I majored in psychology. While I was there, I was president of I was part of a non-resident student association, and I was president of the non-resident student association, and involved in PsychI, which is an honor psychology club. So I was a little bit more involved there than I was in high school. At Meredith, the interactions were pleasant. I think that the climate at Meredith was a lot different from in high school. I think I just accepted the fact that the girls at Meredith probably hadn't been exposed a lot to people of other races. A lot of them came from middle-class white backgrounds, and they themselves came from private schools or private high schools or whatever. So they never really had a lot of interaction with people of color. And they were pleasant and weren't necessarily unfriendly, but I think it was just not having had any experiences with blacks at all. But again, I was the one black person in class. And interestingly, I had a similar experience at Meredith as I did with Mrs. Cope. And I had a social statistics class. And for some reason, I was fearful of the class. Or maybe it was just statistics, but it was statistics something. And I think I'd heard all sorts of things, and I had this fear. And so I went to the professor, and just share it with him that I didn't know whether or not, I didn't know how I would do in the class. And I don't know what else I said, but he looked at me and he said, "Oh, there, you'll be okay. You'll make at least a C." And it just angered me, really, that the assumption was I would make no better than a C, and then that I would at least make a C and at least pass. But I wondered if he had said that to anybody else. It just his assumption that a C would be okay, and that's all that I should even strive for. And I took it very personally at that particular time, and I was determined that I would make better than a C, and I did. But it was interesting that the assumption was that a C would be okay for me, and that I would at least do that well in the class. Mm-hmm. So, but that was sociology class. The psychology department was a very good department. The professors were extremely friendly and open and supportive of me. And so that was a positive experience. It really was. I think that Gwen helped pave the way for me. I guess that probably I I don't think I got any preferential treatment, but I think that that an awareness of when having been there, now I was there, was helpful probably in terms of relationships. And but the school was a tough school, and I know that it did a good job in preparing overall.
That's great. So what did you do with your degree once you got it?
I finished my psychology degree, and I went to work as a college counselor at St. Augustine's College here in Raleigh, and at the same time pursued a master's in counseling. So I was working full-time, and the condition of my even getting that job was that I would pursue my master's, which I had intended to do, but it was just an extra incentive to do that. And so I worked there while I was in school, and then after working there for 3 or 4 years, I got a job at NC State, and I was getting my graduate degree from NC State University. And so I ended up getting a job at NC State, but it was not in counseling, it was in personnel. And so I finished my master's, and I started a career in human resources at NC State in 1983, and I've been at NC State all of that time. So I've been at State for 16 years now in human resources, and I've progressed over the years, and now I'm Assistant Director of Human Resources at NC State.
That's fantastic.
There. So that's where I am now.
And you're working with people.
And I'm working with people. And interestingly, I use a lot of my counseling skills, and recently I've become a certified mediator. That has come in very handy in dealing with employee relations. And so I'm using a lot of my counseling and people skills a lot more than I thought I was going to, a lot more than I did initially. And so it has definitely come in handy. I've also decided to utilize my counseling background outside of my actual paid job. And I do counsel on the side, and I have a ministry. I am a licensed minister, and I have a ministry where I minister to women who are in various situations and have various issues going on in their lives. And I have a ministry that's called Sister to Sister, and I use my counseling background and skills in that way also. And as you can imagine, being a minister, I get the opportunity to put those skills into practice. I'm also married to a minister, and so in being by his side, that provides both of us the opportunity to work in that area and to work with people, so to speak.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's great. How do you view your sister and what she did in terms of making a contribution or paving the way or pioneering or whatever you want to call it?
I think that you could truly consider her a trailblazer, and I think that she underestimates the contribution that she's made. And I think that because of her, lack of a better word, gutsiness, and courage is a better word, she provided an opportunity for people to be exposed to Black people in a positive way. Gwen's personality and the way Gwen is and who she is adds a lot to how she paved the way. I think that our experiences are very different because Gwen was somewhat of a forefront person, where I was not as much of I was more of a background person. I was more reserved than Gwen was. At Meredith in particular, Gwen was very active. And Gwen was in plays, and she did things. She didn't tell you that part. She didn't tell you that part. Gwen was very active. She was very well known at Meredith. Everyone knew who Gwen was. Everyone realized not that Gwen Matthews was a Black student on campus, but Gwen was aware, oh, that's Gwen. Oh, yeah, I know Gwen kind of situation. Not because she was Black, but because of who Gwen was. And I think that she presented African Americans in a way that helped others see us in a real positive way. And she provided the opportunity for people to experience her personality, her friendliness, her laughter, and her ability to interact with people well. I think that the way she became a trailblazer provided the opportunity to put people at ease with African Americans from the very beginning, and she has that way about her. So I think she did things a lot differently in the way that I did. I think that she jumped right in there and she grabbed the bull by the horns and she worked with what she had and she did what she needed to do. The prime example of she was assertive about when she had a question and went to the teacher and wanted to ask the question, whereas I was more reserved and stood back and tried to figure it out. So I think there's a lot to be said about that, because that also that helped to dispel some of the myths that people had about blacks at the time, and the fact that we are interested in learning, we did want to know, and we are curious, and we do have interests, and we have the same likes, dislikes, and values that white people have. And she was probably more forthright with that than I was, and took the opportunity and the time to share more of herself. And I think that's important about a trailblazer. I think you have to be willing to share yourself with others so that they can begin to know you and experience you and know about you. And if you aren't willing to do that, if you can't do it or you don't do it for whatever reason, then you may not be as effective as someone like Gwen, who was very willing to share of herself, to be out there, to be in a play, to put on a funny costume, to laugh with people, you know, to do all of those things that help people see you as a real person and not just a black person.
Wow. How do you think she impacted your life directly with what she did?
I think the impact comes primarily with knowing that it could be done, that it wasn't impossible. Integration was something that we had to deal with, but the success of integration at that time was yet to be seen. And I think that that's the key with Gwen. I think that we went through integration because at first supposedly we had the choice, and then eventually because we were bused, but nevertheless it happened. To many people it just happened, but at that time, what was the fruit of that occurrence? You know, how effective was integration? What was happening? And that was yet to be seen. And I think for me growing up, I think that seeing Gwen be successful, going through that process of the teasing and the ridicule, and having the courage to, after leaving Carrie, to go into another situation where she was a minority, that took a lot of courage. But out of that courage came a success story, and I think what it did for me was it showed me that these efforts are good, that something good can come out of these efforts. A lot of pain, but also a lot of success and good things, too. Positive things can come out of it.
Your parents were very strong in their ideas and convictions for all of you. And Gwen told us that your father was very active in the NAACP. Mm-hmm. How do you view your parents as trailblazers and what they were trying to accomplish?
The strength that my mother showed us, she was a trailblazer, I think, in that situation, because for me, she taught me to love and not to hate, regardless of the situation. And for me, that was, looking back on it, I can say looking back on it, that was probably somewhat unusual, because it was easy. It was easy to say, well, they hit you, you hit them back, or they said something nasty to you, then you say something nasty to them. I think that would have been the easier thing to teach your child, but she didn't teach that, and she didn't encourage that. She encouraged us not to be doormats, but she encouraged us to understand that a lot of the things that the children were doing were things that their parents had taught them. And she tried to help us to to separate the children's actions from the children in terms of they were doing things they probably had been told that they should do, or they were behaving in ways that they were probably told that they should behave, but that they were children just like me. What she tried to help me understand was, what I wanted them to understand was that I was really no, that they were no different from me. Different skin color, somewhat different experiences, but we were still all children, and underneath all of that, we like the same things. They play with dolls, they play with balls, they tease each other, even at home in their families, they beat up their brothers and sisters. Basically, we were all still children. So she, I think her part of all of this was encouraging us to continue to love regardless, and to see the light at the end of the tunnel, and to understand the benefit in all of this for us as individuals. My father was, interestingly, a trailblazer in that he had relationships with people, with the white community, that was probably rare. I mean, it was rare probably for a black man to have positive and good relationships with white people at that particular time. And he had that way about him too. Maybe that's where Gwen got it from, where he interacted well with white people at that, and that was hard at that particular time. And he did that well. How, why, whatever the case may be. But there was the ability, I think, on his part to help us to understand that there was a need to work together and to develop some sense of relationship with the white race, regardless of what was happening. And he was active in the NAACP, so he did that in terms of helping to promote a better community and a better society. And that was important for us to see him do that also. It wasn't only about getting equal rights for blacks. It was also about seeing what we could do as races coming together and understanding each other. And I think that was a big issue for them, trying to bring about some sense to what was happening and bring about a positive effort in terms of unity and cooperation between the races. And when we were young, he worked in situations where he was primarily the only black or African American. And when I was 14 or 15, he went to work for a small private company. He was hired in a job by a family, which kind of took him under his wing. And it was really a positive experience for us as a whole family, because that was really the first close interaction we had with any white people, so to speak. And so he went to work for this small company. He was the only black there. And he shared a lot of things with them, and we saw him help them understand black people just in that particular setting. It was not a large company, but we saw also how they became friends of the family. We all began to consider them friends. They weren't just Al's children, but they came to our weddings. I mean, even, you know, I've only been married 6 years, and when Gwen got married and my younger sister got married, even after he retired, these people were part of the family. And so it was about relationship building. And I think that's probably what they added to this whole issue of trailblazing, is the importance of relationships, and regardless of what color you are, and how those relationships can impact your life as a whole.
Very powerful. Wow.
Hadn't thought about it till just then. That was a good question. I really hadn't thought about it till just then. I hadn't expected a question about my parents.
Okay, well, surprises in there. Your father was active in the NAACP, mm-hmm. and Gwen talked about how members of the NAACP actually coached her, at least that first year, on how to be tolerant of the taunts and not to provoke any kind of hostilities, mm-hmm. and those kinds of things. Did they have any direct contact with you by the time you Mm-mm. came along and were trailblazing Mm-mm. behind her.
None whatsoever. Mm-mm. I didn't have any contact with
her. So as a child, you were not in contact with them directly like she was?
No. Never was.
But did you feel the influence of that organization on you?
Through my father.
Okay.
Okay. But never had any direct interaction with them as members, but through him. His guidance and, you know, just sitting me down and talking to me and sharing things, but no actual coaching from them as an organization, but I know it worked through him.
Yeah. Great. Have you ever thought back on how your life would have been different if you had made the other decision when you were in the fifth grade of staying in your segregated school?
No, I've never thought about it. I think that probably I would have continued on, and I probably would have gone on to college from a academic and professional perspective. But I think that looking back on it, what it has allowed me to be able to do is develop those relationships with people who are different from me, and to try and understand people from other perspectives, not just my own, because I think that was a lot of the problem then. It was that each person, each race, was looking at the situation from their own individual perspective, and the white community was looking at it from their perspective, and we were looking at it from our perspective. I think that since we have become a society that is multicultural and is integrated, that we've had to come to learn to live with each other and to have relationships, to work together, to raise our children in integrated communities. And I think that transition for me has been much easier for me than it probably would have been otherwise. As I mentioned, I worked at St. Augustine's College, which is a predominantly black school, and that was one of the struggles that I think that the African-American students also have or would have in going out into the working world. It's not having had that experience with interacting with people who are different and interacting with a predominantly white society, because there isn't any doubt that predominantly the society, the majority is the white race. But not having had that interaction and that perspective and that experience, I think can put people at a disadvantage, and I saw that when I was working at St. Augustine's College. And I think that for me, my transition into a multicultural society and being able to develop relationships in the working world and do things with people who are different from me has been much easier for me because of my experiences.
Great. Let's stop here and turn the tape over. I think it's about to run out.